It is Wednesday, April 6th, 2022, and I call this meeting of the House Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee to order. The CLA will take the roll.
Chair Bernardi.
Present.
Bernardi, present. Vice Chair Christensen.
Present.
Christensen, present. Representative O'Neill.
O'Neill, present.
O'Neill, present. Representative Albright. Representative Albright. Representative Daniels is excused. Representative Erickson.
Erickson, present.
Erickson, present. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, present.
Hansen, present. Representative Heintzman.
Present.
Heintzman, present. Representative Howard. Representative Howard. Representative Howard, present. Representative Keeler.
Keeler, present.
Keeler, present. Representative Cleborne.
Cleborne, present.
Cleborne, present. Representative Kosnick. Representative Kosnick. Representative Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, present.
Crenshaw, present. Representative Mason. Representative Mason. Representative Meckland.
Present.
Meckland, present. Representative Noor.
Present.
Noor, present. Representative Sandell.
Present.
Sandell, present. Representative Sandsted.
Present.
Sandsted, present. Representative Albright.
Present.
Albright, present. Representative Kosnick. Representative Mason.
Mason is present.
Mason, present. Representative Thompson.
Thompson, present.
Thompson, present. Madam Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you very much. Next, may I have a motion to approve the minutes for April 5th, 2022.
Madam Chair, Representative Erickson moves approval of the minutes from April 5, 2022 for the Higher Education Committee on Policy and Finance.
Thank you, Representative Erickson, who moves approval of the minutes for April 5th, 2022. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll ask members to please unmute. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes for April 5th, 2022 are approved. First up, we have Commissioner Olson, who is with us today to provide testimony on the DE amendment. We also have several members from his team on the call today to answer any technical or clarifying questions about the provisions in the bill. Commissioner Olson, welcome back to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. For the record, my name is Dennis Olson, and I serve as the Commissioner of the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to provide just some brief testimony on the DE to House File 3872. I first want to thank the committee for including many of the budget recommendations made by the governor in his supplemental budget proposal and request. We especially appreciate including funding to establish the Student Parent Support Initiative. As you all well know, we heard powerful testimony this session from numerous students regarding the unique challenges and barriers that they face as student parents who are working to complete their academic programs. And so this budget recommendation helps put those necessary and needed supports in place for them. And then, Madam Chair, although a slightly different approach than was recommended by the governor, we also appreciate the inclusion of the direct operational funds to our Minnesota tribal colleges, which recognizes their role in our robust higher education landscape here in Minnesota. And we also appreciate the attention given to increased appropriations to continue to support and grow our educator workforce through grants to underrepresented student teachers, as well as through the Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program. And we also want to highlight the committee's attention to additional resources needed for the Minnesota State Grant Program. Although the bill does not adopt the governor's recommended changes to the expanded eligibility criteria, anytime we have the opportunity to strengthen the state grant program to increase existing supports to current students or to support additional students who could potentially qualify, we absolutely should. And so we appreciate the action around the state grant program and hope that when the time comes, the governor's recommended changes to the state grant eligibility will be considered during a conference committee. And Madam Chair, members, one important item that I really wish was included in the bill from the governor's revised supplemental budget is the continuation of the Next Generation Nursing Assistant Initiative. This is an initiative some of you know well. This initiative recruited and trained over 1,000 new certified nursing assistants within months following the governor's call to action to do so. And because the initiative was so successful, the governor had recommended continuing the initiative with funding to support training of up to 3,000 students to become certified nursing assistants per year. And so you know, we're hopeful that some consideration to that proposal could still be given, given how successful it was. And finally, Madam Chair, I'm not going to speak or take a position for our public higher education systems, especially because they've already provided and submitted testimony that's included here today as well as yesterday. But we really appreciate the committee's attention to their overall budget requests that they individually submitted. And we're hopeful that as we progress, we can consider the additional requests made by the governor to support campus stabilization, and as well as the equity and affordability initiatives, primarily at Minnesota State, as well as support additional funding for scholarships for students attending Greater Minnesota campuses, the University of Minnesota, as well as supporting enhanced student support services system-wide for the University of Minnesota. So, Madam Chair and members, we once again thank the committee for including many of the governor's recommended budget proposals in the bill. And we really look forward to working with you as well as with the Senate in a conference committee and work to develop a good bill ultimately that we feel will serve Minnesota students in the ways that they have asked throughout session and ways that they deserve as well. So once again, we appreciate your partnership thus far, Madam Chair and members, and look forward to continuing to work together in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Olson. We will continue on today with, and I will hand the gavel over to our Vice Chair Christensen. So here it is, Vice Chair Christensen.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the only item on our agenda is House File 3872. We will move the DE amendment first, take up all of the amendments to the DE amendment, and then close with final discussion and vote on the bill as amended. Chair Bernardi, will you move your bill?
Yes, I will. I will do that, Madam Chair. I move that House File 3872 DE amendment be moved before the committee.
Okay, we have before us House File 3872. Chair Bernardi has a DE amendment labeled DE3. Chair Bernardi, will you move the DE3 amendment?
Very good. Yes, I will move the DE3 amendment. Thank you, Vice Chair Christensen.
And we also have an author's amendment to the DE3 amendment. It is labeled A5. I will move the A5 author's amendment to put the bill in the form that the author wants. Chair Bernardi, can you briefly tell us about the amendment?
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Christensen. The A5 amendment includes three changes to the bill. There was a typo in the bill that needed to be corrected, and that is on page 4, line 7. It will the four and the 400,000 should have been a 9 in 900,000, and that is to begin the startup of our 2-3-year college initiative. And getting technical computer support necessary, administrative support necessary for the Office of Higher Education. We also need to do Minnesota State College's change, delete that on page 20, line 21, clarification that it will now be included as a 2-year institution within the Minnesota State College and University system. And that is regarding our 2-3-year community and technical college grants. And then the other one, on line 1.7 of my amendment, the effective date for the free 2-year college program will The section is effective the day following final enactment. The commissioner shall begin offering grants under the section in the 2023 to 2024 academic year. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, is there any discussion to the A5 amendment? Okay, seeing none, I will renew my motion to adopt the A5 amendment. Those in favor of that motion, please unmute and signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion prevails and the A5 amendment is adopted. We have an amendment to the D3 amendment. It is labeled A1. Rep. Cleburne, will you move the A1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A1 for adoption to House File 3872.
Okay, and please briefly tell us what the amendment does.
Thank you. This amendment clarifies the language related to the responsibilities of the Inclusive Higher Education Technical Assistance Center. It is intended to focus and clarify what the responsibilities of the center will be. The amendment also makes technical changes to how OHE reviews and prioritizes grant applications from institutions of higher education.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, Rep. Cleburne will renew her motion to adopt the A1 amendment. Those in favor of that motion, please unmute and signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion prevails and the A1 amendment is adopted. We have another amendment to the DE3 amendment. It is labeled A2. Lead O'Neill, will you move the A2 amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair.
And can you briefly tell us what this amendment does, Lead O'Neill?
Yes, Chair. Madam Chair, thank you. So the DE2 is basically getting at a problem that we've been talking about this entire session, which is some problems at the MnState system. We have had multiple issues with multiple presidents, and they have not been held accountable by the chancellor. And as I dug into it much deeper, I found that MnState, the Board of Trustees, abdicated their responsibility to the chancellor to be in charge of the administration, including the president. Well, they didn't do a very good job, nor did the chancellor, because now we have three presidents that have brought terrible trouble to students, to faculty, to staff. One most recently was, he resigned in disgrace, but then unfortunately the system office brought him back into the system office. So he's still working full-time at the systems office and is getting paid the full salary of the president while he's doing that. So this amendment simply changes the way that the Board of Trustees are, instead of appointed by the governor, they would be elected by the legislature the same way that the regions are elected. So I'm hoping that we would have more accountability with the Board of Trustees of MnState this way if the legislature had much more involvement, because obviously they've been asleep at the wheel, as have the chancellor, because there are three now presidents that have caused a lot of problems and hurt a lot of people. And this is one way that we can resolve this terrible issue that's arisen over the course of the last few years. Madam Chair, that is what the amendment does.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Chair Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to just let Representative O'Neill know that I appreciate her interest in making sure that this is done properly. And this has come late in the session and first time we've seen this proposal. And it would be important that this get vetted thoroughly. And I'm looking in to see what is the best way in which we can address the intent of Representative O'Neill's amendment. So with that, I encourage a no vote.
Any more discussion? Rep. O'Neill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I realize that it has come very late, and for that, I do apologize. I believe we have been talking about the problems at MnState the entire session, and In conversations with several of my colleagues that are on this committee, we felt this was a good direction to head. And I'm sure since you've got the OHE commissioner here, I'm sure the MnState system is probably listening as well. And if they'd like to weigh in, you know, as a lot of times we bring up something, even markup, and they can weigh in at that point. But I wanted to get the conversation started because there certainly are a lot of victims of the Hennepin Technical College president, and they want some justice. I know there are lawsuits that are happening. I know there are other things that are happening, but these victims want justice, and they want they wanted the president to either be fired or resign, and he did resign. Unfortunately, the system office took him back in, and now he's being paid a full salary as president, doing something in the equity and inclusion office of the systems office. So this is our line in the sand to say enough is enough, and we, the legislature, need to take back authority over this. Obviously, whatever we've done in the past hasn't been enough, because the Hennepin Technical College president was there for 7 years, unabated. He was allowed to bully and harass and hurt people for 7 years, and that is just unacceptable. And so this is my line on the sand to say enough is enough. The legislature needs to have more authority. And so I would encourage you to vote in favor of the amendment, and we can have more conversations about it as we move forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. Anyone else? Discussion? Chair Bernardi?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. So seeing no further discussion, Rep. O'Neill will renew her motion to adopt the A2 amendment. Those in favor of that motion, please unmute and signify by saying aye.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Aye.
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 Yes, Representative Kosnick.
I was going to request the roll call.
Madam Chair, we're in the middle of a vote.
Well, I interrupted at the beginning of the vote, and you don't have the floor. Madam Chair, I renew my request for a roll call. We have not finished the vote.
Okay. So there's been a motion. Is this a motion, Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Okay, there is a motion to do a roll call. All those in favor?
No, the aide would take the roll call.
The CLA. Thank you, Representative Kosnick. The CLA will take the roll.
Chair Bernardi.
No.
Bernardi, nay. Vice Chair Christensen.
No.
Christensen, nay. Representative O'Neill.
For the victims, aye.
O'Neill, aye. Representative Albright.
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Daniels is excused. Representative Erickson.
Erickson votes aye.
Erickson, aye. Representative Hansen.
No.
Hansen, nay. Representative Heintzeman.
Aye.
Heintzeman, aye. Representative Howard.
No.
Howard, nay. Representative Keeler.
Keeler, no.
Keeler, nay. Representative Cleborn.
Cleborn, no.
Cleborn, nay. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, aye.
Crenshaw, aye. Representative Mason.
No.
Mason, nay. Representative Meckland.
Meckland, aye.
Meckland, aye. Representative Noor.
No.
Noor, nay. Representative Sandell.
Sandell, nay.
Sandell, nay. Representative Sandsted.
No.
Sandsted, nay. Representative Thompson. Representative Thompson. Madam Chair, there are 7 ayes and 10 nays.
Okay, with 7 ayes and 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion is not passed. So I see no other discussion. Now, Representative O'Neill, would you like to renew your motion to adopt the A2? Am I doing this correctly, Chair Bernardi?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I believe we just voted on the A2.
We just voted on that.
Okay, thank you. So seeing no further amendments to the D3 amendment, we will vote on the D3 amendment as amended. This is not a final vote on the bill. All those in favor of adopting the D3 amendment as amended signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
The motion prevails and the amendment is amended as adopted. House file 3872 as amended is before us. Members, is there any final discussion to HF 3872? Representative O'Neill.
Yeah, I think there'll be a whole bunch of us that have a lot to say.
Okay.
I'm a little bit concerned because at the end of testimony yesterday, we didn't get a chance to ask questions or make comments or anything, and we had 30 minutes left of committee. It was very disturbing. I've never experienced that in my 10 years here, that we would just adjourn and not ask for member input. It's very bizarre. So then we had more testimony today instead of yesterday, even though this is markup day. So I'm really confused as to what we're doing. I feel like we're just all jumbled up today. I don't know what's going on, but to the bill also is very jumbled up. It doesn't really align with much of anything. It's got a little spattering of what the governor wants, but not a lot. It has almost nothing of what the two institutions wanted. So Penn State and the U of M. And in fact, there are things in this bill that the U of M literally testified against for them. It's bizarre. This is the most bizarre omnibus bill I think I've seen in my 10 years at the legislature. I don't understand it. We have gone so far afield of what people are asking, what people need. I don't even know what to make of it. I didn't even do any other amendments because I'm not even sure what this bill is. Just all over the board. I know my members have got very specific and big concerns, but before we get to them, I do need to know, since I was going to ask this yesterday and there wasn't time for questions or member discussion, but I think that we should at least have a conversation about what our base budget already is. And I'd like to know the total base budget and get that on the record, because this is on top of that, on top of what we already passed last session. And then in the three buckets, as we call it. So the Penn State base, the U of M base, and the OHE base. So I would like to start with that before we have more discussion, because this is just a jumbled up mess today. So if the author of the bill would at least tell us what the base is for those three buckets, and then in the total.
Madam Chair, I will defer to our staff, Ken Savory, to make sure he gets those exactly correct.
Mr. Savory.
Madam Chair and members, I'll go through the initial base budget, then we'll talk about the changes in the DE, and I'll give you the new total if that would be helpful. So the initial base budget for FY22-23 for the Office of Higher Education is $545,971,000. The FY22-23 changes that are in the supplemental higher ed finance bill total $57,469,000, for a new total for FY22-23 for the Office of Higher Ed of $603,440,000. For the TALES FY24-25 for the Office of Higher Ed, the base is $545,392,000. The supplemental finance bill increases that by $117,212,000. And then the new TALES total for OHE in FY24-25 is $662,604,000. For Minnesota State, the FY22-23 base budget is $1,581,483,000. The supplemental finance bill increases that by $10 million for a new total for FY22-23 of $1,591,483,000. And then for the TAILS from Minnesota State, the TAILS base for the previous finance bill was $1,579,222,000. The supplemental finance bill increases that by $18 million for a new total for FY24 and 25 of $1,597,222,000. Finally, for the University of Minnesota, the FY22-23 base is $1,381,312,000. The supplemental finance bill increases its appropriations by $32,531,000 for a new total in FY22-23 of $1,413,843,000. And then for the TAILS for the U of M, the TAILS in the base are $1,378,512,000. The supplemental finance bill increases those TAILS by $14,788,000. And the FY24-25 new TAILS per the new finance bill, supplemental finance bill, is $1,393,300,000. So, and to be clear, there were no changes to the Mayo Foundation in the supplemental finance bill, so that stays the same. So the original all-in higher education general fund base for FY22-23 was $3,511,468,000. The supplemental finance bill increases that by $100 million. And so the new higher education bill total is $3,611,468,000. The original TAILS for the higher education area were $3,505,828,000. The supplemental finance bill increases that by $150 million in FY24-25. And so the new TAILS are $3,655,828,000 for the FY24-25 TAILS.
Thank you, Mr. Savory. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Savory. That is really enlightening, very, very helpful. I know that we don't often talk about the base when we're doing a supplemental budget, but this supplemental budget is massive. This is $100 million increase to the base in this year, just in this one year, and then $150 million increase in the next biennium. And let's just put that in perspective. When I was the vice chair of higher education, and then we were doing the 2015 budget, our entire new appropriations for the entire year, the entire biennium, was $100 million. This is a supplemental budget of $100 million. It's massive. And that is on top of $3.5 billion that we already spend in the state of Minnesota on higher education. That is a lot of money. That's out of a $52 billion general fund budget, $3.5 billion. So let's just start with those numbers. This is massive. This is huge. I'm going to let some of my other members ask some questions and make some comments, and then I would like to have the last word, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is for Commissioner Olson.
Mr. Olson still here? Yep.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Olson, I understand that, you know, what the governor wanted was a grant assistance for tribal college supplemental program expansion. And I know that's in statute and has been since 2013 and 2014. But the proposal that is in this omnibus bill is direct appropriation and starting in the base and going forward for operation at these three tribal colleges. So where is the policy that supports that? And since the state has no jurisdiction over their operation, how can we have that kind of proposal in the omnibus bill when we have not established policy, nor do we have any jurisdiction on the reservations? Will you explain that to us, please?
Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will defer to the bill author. I will just say, Representative Erickson, thank you for the question. The governor proposed funding on a per student basis through the current existing program, the Tribal College Supplemental Assistance Grant Program. That is one vehicle to be able to increase funding on par with what public colleges and universities in the state receive per pupil. And so that is one vehicle. What's proposed here by Chair Bernardi and by the committee is another way. And I believe there is an opportunity here as well. There is no supporting policy, but this is considered a direct appropriation to the tribal colleges. In terms of jurisdiction, there is precedence here. Representative Erickson, as you well know, in the E-12 space, the state already provides funding to the states for schools that are funded by the Federal Bureau of Indian Education, and they receive supplemental assistance as well for operations and maintenance. So there is some precedence there, but understand your concerns.
Madam Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Commissioner Olson, you know, our contract schools in Minnesota, the four of them, that's for providing for the educational needs, not for operation. And that definitely is in statute and has been in statute, I think, since 1989, where we have assisted in the contract schools with their per pupil funding. But it's not for operation. So I don't understand how you could say there's precedent set for operation, because it's very specific in our statute. And I can tell you it's 124D.83 in our education chapter, first enacted in 1989, and we have continued to massage it through 2019. I think this is an outright violation to begin a program without policy in place to support operations. That would require a lot of specific policy language to support something like that. And, you know, I can't accept I know they have a need because they've expressed that. And I'm happy that they have their tribal colleges. That's very, very good. But we're policymakers. You're not, you're a bureaucrat, but we're policymakers. And we have to set policy when we start some kind of new funding, especially when it's on land over which the state has no jurisdiction. So you don't have to further answer, and I don't think the Chair Bernardi does either, because there's no question that we would need specific policy to support that. Thank you very much.
Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Erickson, I absolutely hear you. I'm here to discuss the governor's proposal, for which there already is existing language to be able to provide funding in this way. And that's why I deferred to the chair in terms of the new proposal here for the direct appropriation. But to your point, there already is existing policy in place for the governor's proposal. And yes, you know, that's something we could potentially consider during conference committees. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Representative Heinzman.
There, I got the right button. I was unmuting myself, Madam Chair. So yeah, I have a couple of questions, and I'm not even totally sure who to direct these questions to. It's, I think, gonna be on lines 31.1. We're talking about the green training program. And if somebody wanted to respond, they could. Otherwise, I will just make my comments and we can move on. But I'm going to share just some questions that we had earlier when we discussed this. But if you read through that section, section 20, if I'm working off the correct DE here, I see that the committee is supposed to establish, or a committee is supposed to be established by the Board of Regents. And I'm kind of concerned that we're biting off more than we can chew in this. And I thought, before we go to the floor, I'll at least ask the question. I see in the description of some of the, how does it describe it? Programming that is supposed to be created in the following job categories, that's line 31.14, I see heavy equipment operator in line 31.28, I see mechanic in line 31.30, and I see on and on a number of categories that I guess for lack of a better word would be a fit in maybe other programming at maybe a Mint State campus. But if I've missed something and then there's more to this, maybe we could just quickly get some feedback today.
Is there anyone that can speak to that? Chair Bernardi?
What I would like you to repeat your question, Representative Heinzman.
You know, Madam Chair, that's okay. I'll save it for the floor. I just was curious how this came to be and some of the subject areas that were affected in the lines I mentioned. And we'll have a broader discussion, I think, going forward.
Thank you, Representative Heinzman. Chair Bernardi, any closing comments? I'm sorry. I see a couple hands up here. Representative Clevar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was going to ask for some clarification of Representative Kosnick's question. In looking at this, I just wonder if he could be more specific about which categories were problematic. I'm just trying to fully understand the question that was before the committee.
Did you mean Representative Heinzman?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it Representative? I see Representative Kosnick's hand up. Sorry. Yes, I did mean Representative Heinzman.
Representative Heinzman.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I heard Representative Kosnick and wasn't paying attention. Maybe Representative Claiborne could repeat her question.
I can do that. Representative Cleveland.
Thank you. And apologies to you, Representative. As I was looking at the language, I was just wondering which of these categories were problematic.
Madam Chair.
Representative Heinzman.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So if we look at section 20, starting on line 31.1, all the way through 31.30, and maybe if people aren't familiar with the University of Minnesota and the fact that they're a land-grant institution and that we can offer these kinds of ideas to the university, but, you know, they can go ahead and utilize the program dollars, or as it points out in a number of lines, I think line 31.5, appropriations from the account do not cancel and are available until expended, or if they don't go through this programming, dollars cancel back at the end of the fiscal year to the general fund, I assume. We have a lot more opportunity to direct dollars to programming, especially in these subject areas listed. And I mentioned heavy equipment operator, I mentioned mechanic as just a few, laborer, delivery service driver. I was just looking at that, wondering if this language, even though it might be very optimistic, considering that the University of Minnesota, as I mentioned, is a land-grant institution and could follow this programming direction, they may or may not do that. I'm wondering if maybe this could have been written and directed to Minnesota State, where they would actually follow the direction of the language here statutorily.
Madam Chair.
Representative Cleaver.
That was my confusion. These are frontline workers who could be considered as committee members, as I understand the language, and that was my confusion. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm finished.
Madam Chair.
Representative Heinzman.
So if someone could maybe delve into this the folks that here that would be included in the subject areas that Representative Cleburne just mentioned, and explain what is the objective of this green training program, including all these folks in these subject areas. And I could probably read through and figure it out, but since we have an opportunity to just kind of learn better to what the objectives are here, maybe somebody could address that.
Is there someone who can address Representative Heinzman's question?
Madam Chair.
Representative Cleburne.
We had a full presentation on this bill on a previous day, and I would just say, I was just asking for clarifications for the questions that the representative had, just trying to understand which positions he was confused about being included on the committee. I have no further comments to make on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Madam Chair.
Representative Heinzman.
If we don't have anybody here today that could explain exactly what the objectives are and what we're looking to do in this program, when would be an appropriate time to get that?
Representative Heinzman, I guess I have to call a friend. Chair Bernardi?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is to establish a green training program and a committee to administer the funds of this program account. And just to let you know, things like food service working, preparing items for food donation, gardeners gathering leaves and other yard waste for composting, custodians properly handling waste and avoid cross-contamination, materials for recycling and composting. These are important aspects, including installing LED lights, asking every person to turn off lights, optimizing fan schedules. So this is money to support that effort and training of employees. Thank you.
Representative Heinzman?
Yeah, Madam Chair. Is there anybody from, maybe the appropriate question would be Representative Bernardi could tell us where this came from, who was asking for this. If it was, you know, the University of Minnesota, maybe they could speak to it.
Senator, Chair Bernardi.
This was, if you recall in the testimony that was on this bill, this included testimony from students and from workers at the University of Minnesota who would like to see this training put in place to be able to implement these important sustainability and green training measures.
Representative Heinzman.
Madam Chair, it doesn't sound like there's anyone here from the university or otherwise that could delve into that a little bit more in a more detailed way. So maybe it's something that we could have handy when the bill comes up later on. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kosnick, I'm seeing double. You're up next. Please proceed.
There we go. Thank you. I was in a different meeting, so you are seeing double. Thanks, members and Chair Bernardi. It's looking at the bill, and Representative O'Neill asked a great question, and the fiscal staff gave a pretty thorough answer that I appreciated. The total cost and ongoing cost of these new programs is amazing to me. We do have and are blessed with the surplus, but that surplus belongs to the taxpayers of Minnesota. This bill fails to freeze tuition for higher ed. I think that would be like the bare minimum that we would expect in a higher ed bill for supplemental spending. Last year, we passed a two-year budget that we're under. Government is fully funded, and we have an obligation to respect the taxpayers, and this bill does anything but. It is taking and taking, and it's an incredible amount of money, especially in the historical sense of the budgets of this committee. And it's just, you know, we didn't offer a lot of amendments because I can't believe the amount of new ongoing spending, new programs. And I think it's just not the priority when you don't even freeze tuition, but then create new ongoing government spending, growing government, growing the bureaucracy. And we have yet to see what return of taxpayer surplus is coming from the majority. And it's just shameful, really. So obviously, you know, some good ideas potentially in these policy provisions and some of these programs, but now is not the year to do that, to create new ongoing spending. We don't do that in a supplemental year. So it's shameful that this is the way we're looking at spending taxpayer funds. And I just think it's, you know, you talk to the moms and dads and the families that are providing for their students, they want to be able to direct more of their dollars in the and provide for their students. And they can do that if we lower the tax burden for them. And this budget, again, and maybe if the author would yield for a question, Madam Chair.
Yes, Chair Bernardi.
Chair Bernardi, did you consider tuition freezes in your bill, and why are they not in here?
Chair Bernardi.
Thank you very much for that question, Representative Kosnick, and I will have some comments regarding his remarks after this question. We are not freezing tuition. We are eliminating tuition for students that come from families of lower incomes and middle incomes in Minnesota. So we're not freezing it. We're eliminating it at two-year colleges and universities. So we're reducing the barriers and making sure that every child who's born in Minnesota has the opportunity to go to college. And so we're not just freezing it, we are eliminating it for them.
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, and like I said, I appreciate the intent of some of these bills and programs, but this is not a new program, new budget setting year. Obviously you think differently, and the majority does, but by eliminating what you are doing in some of these programs is you're putting it back on the families that work hard and prepare and want the best for their kids, just like anybody else. And there are already currently programs in place to help families that need it. And I appreciate that you want to do more, but you're doing it at the expense of people that have already paid in a lot of taxes, and you're disadvantaging other families that are paying the full bullet, that are paying for their students that maybe don't qualify for this by not reducing their tuition. And in fact, the more and more that we create government and create these programs and grow the college systems, that's going to drive tuition up farther to create a bad cycle here. And families that are paying the tuition, students maybe from outstate that are coming in here that are paying the tuition, it makes it harder for them to afford college. And like I said, we fully funded this state budget for 2 years previously. And this bill, while, like I mentioned, some good intentions, it's creating it harder without even the first obligation might be to freeze tuition for everybody. And so I'm disappointed that that's how the bill was framed on top of the astronomical amount of new spending, and just shameful, but maybe next year we can bring back some of these ideas and see how we can incorporate them if they continue to have merit. But the amount of new spending in here is just insane. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. Chair Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I wanted to make comment on that. It's talking about a surplus. I don't see it as a surplus when we, in the early 2000s, when Governor Pawlenty was in office, that we started to turn upside down Minnesota's affordability at our state colleges and universities. There was one that was at a time when before that we were paying 2/3 of a child's education and the students were responsible for 1/3. That had gotten flipped upside down nearly, and it was extremely expensive to go to college. We were balancing the state's budget on the backs of our students, and that simply is wrong. So we don't have a state budget surplus until we get rid of and turn that back over and make sure that every student has the opportunity and that we make the important investments that we have promised to our students. And that actually is in our state constitution of our statute of our 2/3, 1/3 commitment by the state. And so we're trying to turn that back upside down. You know, there was a day, and I want to see that again, and that's what we're working towards, where students can actually work part-time, finish their credentials and their degree in 2 to 4 years without a mountain of debt. And so every child that's born in this state in a lower income family or a family that has a middle income will have the opportunity to earn their 2-year credential. And that is our state's responsibility. And that helps every family to be able to prosper and to succeed and to live their American dream. And when our students are supported, this helps our state as well. And so that's how we believe in investing in Minnesota students. And that's where this bill does do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Bernardi. Lead O'Neill, there are a couple, there's another hand up. Would you like me to go to that first? Okay, thank you. Representative Howard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to voice my support for this bill. I'm very excited to vote for it. I just have to say some of the rhetoric from our friends on the other side calling this shameful or whatever the hyperbole is frankly laughable in my opinion. This is a targeted bill focused on helping students afford college and a path to their career. And it's targeted in a way to focus on students that are most in need and giving larger student grants to every single student that receives the state grant in this state. It's incredibly reasonable. And frankly, exactly the kind of direction we're seeing from this House majority, focusing our efforts to reduce the costs on things like childcare, on housing, on the cost of college for the Minnesotans that most need it. If we want to talk about what's shameful or laughable, it's what the other body is doing, providing billions in permanent tax cuts to millionaires and wealthy Minnesotans that don't need them. Far better, we should be pursuing a targeted approach, and that's exactly what this bill does. And so I'm excited to vote for it, and Minnesotans, Minnesota families, Minnesota students will benefit as a result.
Next up, Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I just want to thank Chair Bernardi for her inclusiveness in this bill. What I don't understand is when we create people who are worthy of supporting and others are not. I think people have to be more clear. When we lift up people who need the most, we're lifting up everybody. This bill creates an impactful support for those who need it. It's clear that on the other side, they see this as a giveaway to undeserving people. It's shameful to do that. When Minnesotans are in need, when we can help those who need the most, it's the right thing to do. And I support the investments that we're making here, because these investments are the ones that we need for all of us to thrive, so that no one is left out in this moment. And I think this is the moment we should stand up and say we're proud to be Minnesotans. We're proud to be supporting our students no matter where they live, who they look like, and their income or their zip code. This is the kind of investment we need for the future of our state, and I ask you for your support. So thank you so much, Chair Bernardi.
Thank you. And Lead O'Neill, I don't see your hand anymore. Would you like to make a statement or ask a question? There we go. Lead O'Neill.
Thank you. Yeah, I took it down because so many other people jumped in. And I thought, well, I'll wait till the very end. And okay, every time I think you. It's the end, then someone else has to say something. So as long as nobody else has anything to say, I'd like to, before the author of the bill, just have the last word. So, you know, I could be supportive of this bill, but it's very, like I said, it's very chaotic. It's not focused in any of the areas of any of the people that asked our institutions or the governor's recommendations. It isn't focused on anything. It's like a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. And I do want to clarify that the chair had said, the author of the bill had said that this is free college. Well, yeah, for 2-year colleges, yes. So if you're getting your associate's degree or a 2-year degree, it is, but it is still, it will be a tuition increase on the 4-year colleges. It will be a tuition increase at the University of Minnesota. In fairness, the University of Minnesota came to our committee with a $250 million ask. Just to put that in perspective, this entire supplemental budget is $100 million. So the University of Minnesota came to this committee to ask for $250 million. Our entire new supplemental budget is $100 million. That is why when they came, you know, we all, I think, felt like that was an awful lot of money. Now, if you add on their capital investment that they wanted, it was over $1 billion because they also asked for money in the tails. So $75 million in each year of the tails. So it was a lot of money. Now, this is not anywhere near that. We did not give the University of Minnesota system $250 million. But I've watched them for quite some time. And I will tell you that with this appropriation, they will raise tuition. And in fact, they did raise tuition in the middle of the pandemic by 1.5%. And they did give a massive raise to their chief executive, their president, and they continue to give raises to the administration below that. We have a glut of administrators in higher ed. That is an absolute problem. We've been talking about it for as long as I've been in the legislature. We've been talking about it for over 10 years and probably longer. The administrators are heavily paid. And they, of course, they say, well, it's market rate, right? So, but if you look at the University of Minnesota, it's the Big Ten. So that's a very small market. But we haven't addressed any of that in this bill. We haven't done anything to lower tuition for the 4-year colleges. We did for Minn State. If you're going to get a 2-year degree, we covered that. But that is not the totality of this bill. We sprinkled money here and we sprinkled money there, but nobody. So for example, the Minn State system asked for $60 million so that they could cut tuition by 3.5%. That's not in here. They got $10 million, but not for what the areas that they asked for. So you will see a tuition increase in the 4-year colleges if this budget goes forward. So let's not fool ourselves as to what we think this budget actually does, what this bill actually does. It sprinkles money all over the place. It funds things that nobody asked for. It reinstates programs that the governor didn't even want to reinstate. For example, we have the 50-year water plan. We have the green training program. The University of Minnesota didn't ask for these things. They didn't ask for NRRI funding. They didn't ask for those things. The governor didn't ask for funding for Minnesota Reconnect. We're spending money on things that nobody asked for. And we're not funding what they did ask for. This is a chaotic sprinkling all over the place. I don't see how this accomplishes what you say it does. And I would ask my members to vote no, because this is a chaotic sprinkling of money all over the place, and I'm not sure what it will actually accomplish. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Chair Bernardi, would you like to have some closing comments?
Yes, Madam Vice Chair Christensen, thank you for convening this meeting with us today. I am very appreciative to all the voices we've heard throughout session, and I don't consider our students nobodies. I consider listening to their stories and finding out what will help them. And that's what this bill does. It opens doors and opportunities for Minnesota students and their families. Every child who's born will have the opportunity to achieve their credentials and to be able to have an employable skill set to move forward and to help not only the economic prosperity for their family, but the economic prosperity for Minnesota. That's something we can all get behind. We need to reinvest in Minnesota, Minnesotans, and Minnesota students, and get back to where we are doing all we can to support them. We need to create on-ramps for them to get back into the school who have been shut out and haven't had the opportunity to go back. We need to get them into the workforce at higher paid jobs and that will help Minnesota's economy. We need to help with their well-being, their mental health, their basic needs, their safety needs, and making sure that we are supporting them in every effort so that they can achieve their credentials and again, increase their economic prosperity for them and their families. This will have generational impacts. It will help lift people up out of poverty. Our 2-year free college program at Minnesota State Universities and colleges at the 2-year technical colleges and community college will allow students, again, to gain their credentials. We have things in there to support expectant parents and parents to help them be successful. These proposals in this bill helps support students' success, helps us make sure that every Minnesotan, no exceptions, have the opportunity to attain a credential and to attain a good job. Members, I want to thank you for your support in making a commitment to the students of Minnesota and to our state. And I encourage you to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Bernardi. Seeing no further discussion, Chair Bernardi will renew her motion to refer HF 3872 as amended to Ways and Means. The CLA will take the roll.
Chair Bernardi.
Aye.
Bernardi. Aye. Vice Chair Christensen.
Aye.
Christensen, aye. Representative O'Neill.
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, nay. Representative Albright.
Nope.
Albright, nay. Representative Daniels is excused. Representative Erickson.
Erickson votes no.
Erickson, nay. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Heinzeman. Representative Heinzeman. Representative Howard.
Howard, aye.
Howard, aye. Representative Keeler.
Keeler, aye.
Keeler, aye. Representative Cleborne.
Cleborne, aye.
Cleborne, aye. Representative Kosnick.
No.
Kosnick, nay. Representative Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, no.
Crenshaw, nay. Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Meckland.
Meckland, nay.
Meckland, nay. Representative Noor.
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Sandell.
Sandell, aye.
Sandell, aye. Representative Sandsted.
Sandsted, aye.
Sandsted, aye. Representative Thompson. Representative Thompson.
Thompson, aye.
Thompson, aye. Representative Heinzeman. Madam Chair, there are 11 ayes and 7 nays.
Okay, there being 11 ayes and 7 nays, the motion passes. And House Bill 3872, as amended, is referred to Ways and Means. Okay, I want to thank all the testifiers and thank everyone here for the discussion. And with that, we are adjourned.